If you've been at Westbridge these past few weeks, then you know we're in a series entitled Things I Wish Jesus Never Said. So far, we've looked at a number of different things that make us uncomfortable because these are areas that we need to work on. These are areas that we're not doing so well in, and these are areas that we just need to keep going and going in life, trying to improve as we continue on our journey becoming who God created us to be. So far, we've looked at several statements that we wish Jesus had never said. Statements we wish the Bible didn't capture, because then we have to learn them and we have to apply them. Statements like, you and I, we're supposed to love our enemies. Statements like, God giving Satan approval to make trouble in our lives. God telling us to be still when we don't know what's going on and let him operate and take care of things. And that we really shouldn't even come to him with praise and thanksgiving if we're angry and at odds with someone else. He wants us to go deal with that first. Well, tonight I'm sure you already guessed it after seeing the video and after seeing the drama. Our topic is worry. Let's face it, I mean, we all worry about something, and unfortunately, we all worry about many different somethings. I know I worry. I worry about my family and their safety. I worry about my job. I worry about money. I worry about the times I've disappointed my wife. I worry about being late. That's probably my worst one because I cannot stand it. I am constantly early everywhere I go. I worry about a lot of things, yet Jesus tells me in the Bible that I'm not supposed to do that at all. Not at all about anything. It's exactly why I wish he hadn't said it. Because when I worry, I feel like I'm disappointing him. I feel like I'm letting him down. And I also feel like it's an area that, how do I stop that? I mean, that's really tough. It seems challenging to accomplish that. Let me ask all of you, what are some of the things people worry about? Now, not you guys, because, you know, we'll talk about your friends, because I know you guys, none of you guys in here worry. Nobody here does. But what do your friends worry about? What do you think, right? Shout it out. What do people worry about? Health, right? People worry about their health. Sure, what else?
Their kids.
Yes, of course they worry about their kids. What else?
Future.
Their future. Yeah, exactly. Finances? Yep. Yeah? Lots of stuff. Yeah, I mean, worry infects all of us, doesn't it? And it affects everybody around the world. It's not exclusive to us here. In today's culture, people worry about all kinds of things. The things we just heard, and some of the things that are on the list behind me. Take a look. People worry about whether they're going to succeed or whether they're going to fail. People worry about getting rejected. They've had a family fight. They worry about a loved one in the military. And a big one for most people is down there in that bottom right corner, the unknown. People worry about stuff they don't even know about yet. I mean, that's a big one. And by no means is the list behind me even remotely exhaustive. I mean, we could spend tonight just putting the list together, and we probably wouldn't even be done. Worry is so prevalent in today's society that companies have gone to extreme measures on product labels, worried that someone is going to bring forward a lawsuit against them. I was studying this past week when I came across an article about a wacky warning labels contest. I mean, I didn't even know such a thing existed. But for 16 years, this contest has been going on, highlighting some absurd and silly labels that surround us in everyday places. Because America, I mean, we have this lawsuit happy culture. And as a result, companies are worrying to the extreme. The contest was created by author Bob Dorigo Jones. And he's the best-selling author of Remove Your Child Before Folding. the 101 stupidest, silliest, and wackiest labels ever. So I thought we might look at a few together. Jeremy, show me the first one. Not for human consumption. I mean, seriously, a package of fishing worms? And you got to tell us not to eat those? Wow. Oh my goodness. Mr. Scott, you need to pay attention to this next one. Remove your child before folding. Pastor Scott's a new father. It's a first father. Before you fold the stroller, you take the baby out. I know it's tough, but you do that. Okay? Next one. Does not supply oxygen. I mean, really, this piece of paper on your mouth. Come on. All right. No, I'm not gonna demonstrate this one or anything. This just speaks for itself. Not for use on moving vehicles. It is a mental picture.
That's fun.
Hey, Bob, slow down. Slow down up there. And the last one I want to show you, this product moves when it's used.
Wow.
I mean, isn't the point of having a scooter that it moves?
No.
I mean, come on. We live in a time where the world would say that there are good reasons to worry. Not really the things on the wacky list, but real issues, real problems that we face in life. The things we mentioned earlier, the things on the long list for sure. You can't turn on the TV or listen to the radio or surf the internet without credible reasons to worry. It can be the high price of gas. It can be what's going on in Syria. It can be the natural disasters and the extreme weather that's happening around the nation and around the world. We don't have to look far and we don't have to look long to find things to worry about. And unfortunately, we underestimate the impact it has on us. Now, Jesus understood our tendency to worry, so no wonder he addressed this issue head on in the Bible. The consequences are pretty severe that result from excessive worry. It can cause stomach ulcers. It can cause phobias, such as hypochondria, which is sometimes referred to as health anxiety or obsessive compulsive disorder. Consistent worrying and dwelling on fear is what this phobia is about. Even when they're way away from the situation, they have to put these rituals in place to help control and manage that and minimize the anxiety. Worry can never help us, and it can really harm us. So let's dive into our text tonight from Luke chapter 12 and see why Jesus commands us not to worry. And we'll learn a few reasons and realities why we shouldn't, and we'll also capture some truths. So take out your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12 and grab the outline you were given, hopefully on the way in, by Miss Joanna or Miss Candy. Thank you for doing that. Verse 22. Then, turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than birds." Verse 27. "Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all around the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need." The word worry Jesus uses here translates from the Greek word merimna, which means anxiety, care that which divides, distracts the mind, and which draws a troubled person's mind in different directions. Now, sometimes the word, this word in the Bible is used in a good way, but certainly here it's not. It's really translated to that unhealthy worry. Verse 24, Jesus said, "And you are far more valuable to him than any birds." I mean, if God feeds the birds and he clothes the flowers, doesn't it make sense that he'll provide for you and I? Suppose I decided to clear a large space of land at my home and build a tennis court for my family, right? Really nice, full size to use. Wouldn't it make sense that I at least get two tennis rackets and one tennis ball? I mean, it'd be kind of stupid if I didn't do any of that. Provide all that stuff and then not do anything to take advantage of it. Or let's say Shanda's cooking Thanksgiving dinner for our extended family and friends and having them all over. Wouldn't it make sense that she'd put out plates and forks and knives and glasses? I mean, the same's true with God. He's not going to give us this life and then not give us the things we need in it. Philippians 4:19 tells us this: "And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs for his glorious riches, from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." God created us. He gave us a body. He gave us a life. And he assures those that follow him that he's going to supply what we need. This brings us to one of the realities that result from worry. And that's worry weakens our faith. Chuck Swindoll refers to worry as the subtle enemy of simple faith. The most notorious faith killer in all of life, he says. Greater than materialism, greed, anger, or any other sin that's our enemy. These verses kind of indicate that worry is unbelief, which in God's eyes is sin. And we know that sin is really just anything that is not what God would want us to do. And that worry weakens our faith. Jesus teaches us here that someone who has a life troubled by worries is really saying, you know, I don't believe that God loves me and cares for me and is able to take care of my problems and needs. Worry kind of ignores his faithfulness. It ignores his love. Someone was quoted once saying, "Worry starts where faith ends. And where there's faith, there's no worry." You and I serve a God who is faithful. And as we trust God for the solution to what worries us, he won't fail us. He tells us that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. "And his promises cannot fail," he tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:20. As followers of Jesus Christ, we've been called to live a life of faith. When the Bible's writers discuss faith, they weren't merely writing about thinking positively or being optimistic or following our gut. No, they were talking about something serious. If you want to learn more about the kind of faith that God would have us, then this week, in your quiet time, read Hebrews chapter 11. You're going to learn about people like Noah and Abraham, Enoch, the prostitute Rahab, Gideon, and Samson. These are people who trusted God and gave him their faith. And God provided for them in astounding ways. You read these stories, these fantastic stories, and one might easily conclude that faith in God assures us in deliverance out of difficulty. You and I can count on God. Let's continue and read a few more verses from Luke chapter 12, specifically verse 25 and 26. "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying about other things, other bigger things?" Here Jesus gives us a dose of reality about worry, and that is worry never works. Worry makes no sense. It's never fixed a single strained relationship. Worry has never solved a single problem in life. Worry has never once made a situation better. It hasn't found a college graduate job, a job. It hasn't helped any students pass a test. It hasn't been able to help anyone fix a car. It hasn't been able to help anyone at all. It does absolutely no good because it never works. This is why Jesus tells us not to worry. Here Jesus uses the illustration of lengthening one's life by a very teeny, tiny amount, which he tells us is actually quite a small thing to achieve. Yet we can never do this. You and I can lengthen our life. If you're a smoker, you can stop. That will lengthen your life. If you drive a little bit fast on the highway, you can slow down, and chances are you're probably going to avoid a few more accidents. If you're not healthy, you can work to get healthy. That'll lengthen your life. But here, God tells us worry can't do that. In fact, worry shortens our life. A person could worry themselves literally to death, but no one has ever worried themselves to a longer lifespan. 2 weeks ago, the women went to Women of Faith, right? They drove out there. Yeah, you can give it up, Miss Candy, right? So Friday, the women all drive down to Philadelphia. Well, I got a very abrupt and very rude phone call from my wife, Shanda. And she said, you need to call Lauren immediately. She's stuck on the side of the road. Her car broke down. Whoa. Okay, Lauren's my daughter, by the way, for those that don't know. So I called Lauren, and understandably, she was very upset. So it took a while to actually just start to communicate there. She wasn't sure what to do. Her car, the temperature gauge was all the way up to the top on the red line. I mean, this was on hot as hot could be. So I tried my best to understand what was going on with the car. There wasn't any steam coming from the hood or anything like that, and I'm really trying to encourage her to be calm and to kind of settle down and so I could ask her questions. And of course, I'm sure she was worried. She was worried about her car. She was worried that she was stuck on the side of the road. She actually said to me, you guys can never find me. You'll never find me. I'm just going to stay here and no one knows where I'm at. And I'm thinking, you're holding a GPS and you have a cell phone. She was, of course, worried about her car. This hasn't happened to her. So after quite a while talking to Lauren, gave her car a few minutes to cool down, we determined that she was only a few minutes away, actually, from a highway exit. The car was actually okay enough for her to drive there, so she turned on the car's heater. So if your car ever gets a little bit warm, crank on that heater, starts alleviating the heat on the engine. And she carefully got on and off the highway, and then she called me back. Now, in parallel with all that, Shanda was driving from New Jersey down there, so she was about an hour away from where Lauren was. She had a car full of other women going to Women of Faith. And, of course, she was worried about how she was going to get these women to Women of Faith. She was worried about Lauren and her car and where she was. So I asked Shanda, I said, well, should I drive out there? Should I come out? And she said, no, wait till I get to Lauren first. I don't want to talk about anything else. I just want to get to Lauren. I just want to find her. She was so worried about Lauren that she didn't even want to talk to me. All she wanted to do was drive an hour to get to where her daughter was. That was her first and only priority. And of course, Shanda found her, no problem whatsoever. She got back to me and we decided that Lauren would take the van and the rest of the women and go straight to Women of Faith. And Shanda would sit on the side of the road and wait for me to drive to Philadelphia. That all happened about an hour and a half after the first call. And they were about 85 miles away. If you do the math, we could have been there at the same time. But don't tell Shanda that. So I drove out to Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. I gave Shanda the truck, and I got the car home. There was a lot of worry happening that night. Quite a few tears, maybe a little bit of fear, and certainly frustration and concern. But all that worry didn't help one bit get Lauren off the highway. It didn't help one bit cooling her car down. It didn't help one bit getting it back to New Jersey. In reality, worry never works. Because if it did, Lauren's car would be a brand new Lexus. Because there was a lot of worry going on, and that thing would have just, turned into a brand new thing. Well, let's read the last few verses of tonight's text and then discuss the third reality we can capture about worry. I'm on verse 32. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven, and the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Final point here is, you know what? Worry wastes life. Worry wastes life. Verse 32 in the Message translation says, don't be afraid of missing out. When we worry about the future, we miss out on the blessings of today. I'm going to keep this quick. Consider the following question in your mind. Really think hard. 1 year ago today, September 21st, 2012, do you really remember what you were worrying about? And guys, it doesn't count if it's your wife's anniversary or birthday this month and you didn't know what to get her. Right? Do you really remember anything? How about 6 months ago? Got to remember something from 6 months ago today. 1 month. Last week? I could tell you for $1 million, I couldn't even remember what I worried about tomorrow, or yesterday, excuse me. I couldn't even remember. Take a look at the screen behind me. I have no doubt the truth in the statement the man makes in this cartoon. His wife says to him, you worry too much. It doesn't do any good. Sure, it does for me, because 95% of the things I worry about, they don't even happen. And they don't. But yet, we still consume loads of energy on them when we worry. Wasting precious life here on earth. When we worry, we ignore the present, we ignore what's going on. And as we talked about, it does other things. It robs us of what's going on. And quite often, we give into that temptation and pitch a tent and sit down and just, you know, have fun with our worry for a long period of time. Why? It makes us less productive in everything we do. Companies estimate they spend $300 billion, yeah, that's a B, dollars a year because employees miss work because of anxiety. And they're either home not working or they're spending that in healthcare costs. Sometimes we just want to put ourselves away and agonize. Worry takes his toll on us mentally and physically. Don't worry. That's enough time talking about worry. Let's move on to the solution side of things here on this one. I got it. I've got it. The great and mighty musical genius, Bobby McFerrin, taught us what we needed to do here. And it goes something like this. Jeremy, show it to us. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Oh, come on. Don't worry, be happy. Okay, one more. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Do you think that helps, Kenny? What do you think? You feel better? No? I studied hard on that one. Okay. I have to say, that was really pretty bad. Mr. Robert doesn't sing, so sorry about that. Wait, you know what? I came across a better solution. I was on the internet, and I saw this article from this guy, Max Lucado. He's an author. And somebody asked Max, they said, Max, how does a person deal with anxiety? And he says to him, he says, you know what? It's a good question. You might try what one fellow did when he realized he worried too much. He actually decided to hire someone to do all of his worrying for him. He found a man that agreed to be a hired worker for $200,000 a year. This man would do all his worrying for him. Pretty cool, huh? Who here wants that job? Right? All you got to do is worry. $200,000 a year to worry about someone else's stuff. Well, after the man accepted the job, his first question to his new boss was, hey, boss, Where are you going to get $2,000 a year? And the boss responded, he said, that's your worry. All right, let's get serious now. How do you and I truly get better at dealing with the prevalent issue of worry in our lives? Of course, the answer is not hiring somebody to do it for you. It's not in a catchy little song that tells us to don't worry, be happy. We can't simply just stop worrying. We have to put something in its place, something that helps us deal with the worry. The worry's there only because there's this fundamental need that's not met inside. So if you would allow me to propose two things that we can do that will work to help us reduce worry in our life. The answers come into focus when we ask and answer two questions. And they're, do you have a problem in your life? You want to show that up, Jer? And can you do something about it? Right? So hit enter for me. If you don't have a problem in your life, then don't worry, right? Hit me up, Jeremy. If you do have a problem in your life, then one more time, can you do something about it? Because if you can, then don't worry. And if you can't, then don't worry. As illustrated in the diagram, all combinations of the answers to these two questions lead to the same conclusion, to not worry. So let's unpack a bit more and truly get to the root of the answers. When we don't have a problem, we don't worry. So that's not really the point here. That's not the issue, but it's still worth mentioning. The first solution we can learn tonight that will work effectively in dealing with the worry in our lives is for those times when we have a problem and we can do something about it. The solution is we need to do something about it. It's that straightforward. I mean, imagine if you will, and I know it's a stretch for some of you to think this way, but imagine I'm having a problem controlling my weight. And I'm worried about how it makes me look. I'm worried about how it makes me feel. I'm worried about the impact on my health. It's certainly a problem, something to worry about, but it's something I can do something about. Simply worrying isn't going to help me shed pounds. But if I were to watch the types of foods I eat, I were to control the amount of food I eat, and say maybe I started walking a little bit, 15 minutes a day, those things help me deal with my worry because I put actions into place. I'm doing something about it. And in fact, they actually will help me start losing weight when I do them. I have a friend, his name is Dixon. And we worked together for a long time. About 2 years ago, my company went through a restructuring. And he was one of the gentlemen who was let go. And to this day, a little over 2 years from now, he still hasn't found a job. Now, my friend Dixon, I meet with him at lunch quite a bit. His attitude has never changed one bit. He's still the bubbly, nicest guy you'd ever meet. Most positive attitude. All this time, he's taken advantage to spend time with his wife and his kids and to bond. He's been pursuing job after job after interview after interview. He's looked at other countries. He's looked at other states. And he's gone back to school in this time and got a certification that folks are saying they would like him to have to get the kind of jobs that he's looking for. Throughout this entire time, my friend Dixon is effectively dealing with his worry because he's doing something about it. He could have chosen to sit around the house and say, oh, woe is me. This just happened and why is this unfair? No, he didn't do any of that. He sets the example for anyone who is currently out of work. And he also sets the example for how to effectively deal with the worry of being unemployed. So what if the answer to the question, can you do something about it, is a big fat no? What happens when you can't do something about whatever the problem that's behind your worry? The solution to these other issues in life is we need to give it to God. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us this. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Philippians 4:6 tells us something very similar. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The same can also be found in Psalm 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. In these circumstances, instead of being anxious and getting ourselves all worked up about issues that are totally out of our control, we should be praying. Prayer is simply talking to God. And when we talk to God, we turn the issue over to him to deal with. We involve him in the action of bearing that burden in our lives. And we involve him in providing for our needs. The Bible assures us, we already looked at, that he already knows everything we struggle with and everything we need. Looking at 1 Corinthians 10:13 again, it tells us, he knows all about my problem and he knows its solution. But God wants and asks us to bring our cares to him. Even now, he stands ready if we would just ask him. Friends, God is way bigger than any of my worries or any of your worries. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted, it says in Job 9:10. Why not let him work some miracles in your life? We all have worries. Some of our worries are justified, and some of them are not. A lot of the things that we worried about in the past are things that never ever happened. As well, much of what happened in the past to us are things we actually weren't even aware were going on around us. We didn't even have a chance to worry. I mean, how many of us have been on the highway driving down the road and we got passed by someone who's driving under the influence and we didn't even know it? I'm sure my family's missed a few bear encounters on our property by not being there, and I know my mom would be disappointed by that because she always wants to see the bears. None of us can see what lies ahead. We look forward with either hope or anxiety. Our view of the future is shaped by the choices we're making now, here, tonight, when we leave. Are we going to allow ourselves to be full of worry and make our current situation actually probably worse than what we probably think the future is going to be? Or by choice, are we going to look forward with that half-glass full mindset rather than half-empty? When we worry, the worry eats away at our faith. It eats away at our heart, and it divides our mind, the Bible tells us. We got to remember God's bigger than that. He's bigger than any worry. And our future, we shouldn't be concerned about at all because he's got it in the palm of his hand. I'd like to ask the band to come back up. And we're going to talk to God here in a minute. When we are faced with a problem we can do something about, then we do something about it. And know God is right there beside us every step of the way, cheering us on, giving us strength. And as for the issues that are beyond our control, issues we can't do anything about, then we give them to him. Because that's what he's there for. And when we speak his name, when we call out to him to get involved, then he starts the process of working on those things, helping us through those situations in our life. And we can trust him that those things work out to his glory. No problem, small problem, big problem. Whether we can do something about it or not do something about it, however we slice it, God is right there. And he's right when he tells us in Luke 12 not to worry. So tonight, let's speak his name. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we exalt you. Father, we just want to thank you for the words that you spoke to us. Father, you put your finger right on the issue that we all deal with, the issue of worry. As we leave this place this evening, help us to remember your truth. Help us to remember that you are there to come to our rescue when we involve you. We just need to give it to you, God. Help us to understand the things that we can do something about, and give us your wisdom for the things that we should do. Keep us safe. Bring us back next week. In your name we ask, amen. See you next week, Saturday night, 7 o'clock.